Okay, you'll see why, maybe at the end of the shiur, why I decided to do it tonight. But, just like we had before Hanukkah, we had the big Hanukkah kickoff. So, we're going to start our Purim pounding right now. Right now, Purim pounding. Where I'll try to get in everything you know.
Perfect Purim
pounding. The reason why I didn't serve the goods yet is because really they belong to Matt Spector. I need to ask his permission before we divulge in them. But Matt usually shows up halfway through, so maybe we'll get it then. But we have, I believe, 6 shurim between now and Purim. 6 night shurim between now and Purim. Is that a lot or a little?
There's only 5 for the afternoon shurim.
Huh?
There's only
4
left for afternoon
shurim.
Has it
been? We have Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and
Wednesday. There's only 10 days of Purim.
Right. So, being that's the case, I decided to try to get as much as we can get, as best as understanding, as deep an understanding on all the aspects of Purim that we can. So tonight, I decided to designate tonight's shiur to the... Maybe it doesn't seem so strange on the outset, but if we think about it a little bit, what I want to talk tonight about the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, of sending gifts to our friends on Purim. Because...
Okay.
Hey!
It's fine, this is
when
you
usually come anyways. We just talk about that. Okay. We'll save it for the end then. So if you look, please enjoy. Oh, so now you guys will get the chakras on time?
I'll listen to chakras.
On time.
I'm gonna get the chakras the same time I get there every day.
Man, I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's more.
It's an odd time.
I'm gonna
get there
easy,
you
know
that.
Gotta get the chakras on time, that's a basic rule.
Yeah, go.
It's one of the 13 odd moments.
Which those extra 15 minutes?
Huh? Shelby, you're always there, like,
quick to enjoy. What about I
think touché.
I always live with Natalie Living.
That's still on time, you're still on time, Chuck.
No, but like.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just recently.
I'm
how do
you do that? I don't know
the way. You gotta push yourself.
I can't focus on the
day. Really?
Like
3 minutes.
So, if you look at Megillas Esther, at the very end, it says that Mordechai and Esther. Yeah, it says Mordechai and Esther established 3 mitzvos in addition to Mikra Megillah on Purim. They are good, Suda, and besides Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos. And it doesn't say that they established it. It says they established Mishteh V'Simcha.
Oh yeah, it's
Mishteh V'Simcha. So if we look at each of the 3 mitzvos here, it makes a lot of sense why they would have such a thing. For example, Mishteh V'Simcha, why would we have a Seuda? So we're celebrating the fact that we were saved. Right? And contrast to Hanukkah, when we were saved on a spiritual plane, right? They didn't want to kill us, they just wanted to not have us keep the Torah. But on Purim, they actually wanted to just wipe us out entirely physically. So because of that, we have a physical Seuda, we engage in physical pleasures in order to show that we ourselves are saved. Now, the second mitzvah, Matanos Avodim, there's really a concept by all the Jewish holidays to have a specific mitzvah to give to the poor. That also makes a lot of sense. What doesn't really make so much sense on a superficial level is what is the reason why Dafka by Purim, Mordechai and Esther decided to establish that Mishloach Manos should be part and parcel of the mitzvah of the day. So, in order to understand this concept, I want to look at 2 reasons given by the Mishonim, Mephorshim, why is it that we have Mishloach Manos? Okay, one reason, it isn't written straight out, but it comes out in a question asked by the Truma Sadeshen. Who is the Truma Sadeshen? Truma Sadeshen was a Jew by the name of Rav Moshe Isserlin, and he wrote this book, the series of Shoot.
Is that there?
Does anyone know what that stands for?
Is that there?
Close. Our mom's Moshe Isserlis. He's a Yisrael Isserlin. Does anyone know what this stands for?
Johnny L.
Anyone?
No.
No?
Something to tell.
Shelo and
Shuvot.
Shiva.
Shelo Uchuvot. That's what it stands for. Shoot. And there are many books, many books written throughout the Jewish history of the rabbis who basically questions that they've received, and they write answers to them in letter form back. The most famous of all of them probably is that of Rav Moshe Feinstein, also known as the Igros Moshe.
I just found out today he was 4'11".
Yeah, he's very short.
Is that like midget? I think under 5 feet.
Officially, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Wasn't the Chavetz Chaim also really short? Well, they would.
I don't know. I never saw him. I never saw him.
So there's no picture of him on the side.
There is one. It's the one everyone thinks it is. It's not him. But
yeah,
there is one. Right, but there is one that is him.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
It's on the Wikipedia page.
No, that's definitely a lie. Wikipedia.
No, I'm telling you, it's the real one.
I've never seen him.
I've never seen him.
I'm telling you, it's the real one. That's what they said. The one like on the cover of the books, it's not him. Anyway, so the Truma Sadeshin, Rav Yisrael Isserlin asks the following. And the reason why his book of Shoot is unique is because Rav Moshe Isserlin did not receive letters from people and write answers. He made up the questions himself and answered them. So that really doesn't happen in any other book, but he does. And the question he asks,
he asks his own question
and answers them. So he asks a very short question. He says, am I allowed to give kalim or clothes as mishloach manot gift?
Oh wow!
What do you guys say?
That's a
picture.
That's it.
You say
it.
That
him?
Yeah.
It's a
shitty picture.
But
he's
whoa.
Hot.
Is he hot?
Yeah, he's a
puppy.
You
can
be a.
Is that a real picture?
Yeah.
It's like, hell yeah. You take a change out.
Okay, so what do you guys think? Can a person give clothes or sheets or other kinds of kalim, nice dishes, as his part of his mishloach manot gift?
No.
No.
Has to be a meal.
Why?
Has to be a meal.
Okay, anyone else? What do you guys say?
What do the Chavetz Chaim looks like?
I say...
How tall is he?
6'1", 220 guard.
More than a coach.
I'd give him 5'3".
7'6".
Okay, does anybody disagree with Johnny?
What?
Johnny says you cannot give other than food that you
like
that.
He married his
what?
Okay,
so could you give these things?
Wait, how
about
like for like married his stepdaughter? I mean his
guys, come on, let's go. Can a person give things other than food as part of Mishloach Manos and be Yotze?
No.
Okay, very good. The Ramos, the Shuvah Zeshu says, you're the Ein Yotze Bahen. You're not Yotze if you give things other than food. Why? So it comes out, what's the reason for Mishloach Manos?
Suda.
Exactly. You should give it as part of the Suda. Something that you can use in your Suda. So if you give clothes, it doesn't really work.
If you give money, it does.
That's the misconception. There has to be food ready to go right now. You can't give them like a piece of raw meat that they have to cook. It has to be something fitting to eat right now. Matanos Adonim is different. Yeah, popcorn, sure. That's great for the Suda.
But that's not ready.
Oh, if it's not ready to go? Yeah, then that might be a problem.
Oh, good.
Might be a problem.
Yeah, but in all days, everyone has microwaves. Most people have microwaves.
This guy.
Right. So it's a question. But you see that the Truma Sadeshin's reason for why is it that we give Mishloach Manos? Why? What would you say based on his reasoning? Exactly. Very good. That's one reason. I'll tell you another reason. The Manos Halevi, written by Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, who wrote most famously the. Rav Shlomo Alkavetz lived in Tzfas. He wrote a very famous poem we say every week. Friday night.
L'chadudi.
He wrote that. He explains the reason for Mishloach Manot is to increase brotherly love. Right? I'm giving you a gift as part of your Jewish brethren, so that to increase the love, to increase the unity, to increase the friendship between us.
But I disagree with that. Most often, a lot of times, I can do the opposite. You have to pick and choose who you give your
jealousy.
Right.
So it creates so much
jealousy.
It creates so much kina. Interesting.
So much kina.
Interesting point. So with these two reasons for Mishloach Manot, is it to increase one's Seudah, or is it to increase brotherly love amongst Israel? So there are four nafkaminas. What's a nafkamina again?
Also, a practical difference.
Practical difference. Very good, Jared. Oh, very good.
What?
Guys, quiet. Matt speaking.
Yeah. In terms of like how nice specific it is, you give that person
Really? I never heard of such a thing. Okay, Jared, so you said what a nafkamina is. Can you maybe think of a practical... Now, how does a nafkamina work? It means when you have two reasons for something, so you could apply a case where one reason would apply and one reason would not. There are four nafkaminas that I've come up with.
You come up with
But the best, I'm saving the best for last. It involves multimedia, which I haven't used in a while, but that's why I brought my computer here. Okay? It's the most fun. But the first one is, let's say Reuven, no, let's say Jared sends Shelby his Mishloach Manos. But Shelby doesn't accept it. So I don't want your Mishloach Manos.
Oh, no.
So according to the Truma Sadashin, it says to increase your Suda. So it didn't work because Shelby didn't accept it.
Are you allowed to reject?
But hold on. According to the Manos HaLevi, to increase brotherly love, you've done your job. You tried to show brotherly love to Shelby. He just didn't accept it. Exactly. So according to the Manos HaLevi, you're Yotze. According to the Shemesh, you're not. That's the first not Kamina.
But what if Shelby hates Jared? So wouldn't that make him hate him?
No, but the Chiyuv is on Jared. Jared's taking his part to show brotherly love by showing that sending them Mishloach Manos to him. He's Yotze. Irrespective of what Shelby accepts or not. Okay, next nafkamina. Let's say Zach sends Matt a Mishloach Manos. But Matt, you didn't know that Zach sent it to you. He sent it anonymously. So according to Truma Sadeshin, who says it's first Seuda.
Is this the more Machmir one who says it wouldn't count?
No, it's not Machmir Mako. It's two different reasonings. Right? So just think, hold on. Think logically. If Zach sends Matt Mishloach Manos, but Matt doesn't know that Zach sent it, so according to Truma Sadeshin, who says to increase Seuda, did Zach fulfill his mitzvah?
Yes,
because Matt's going to use it for a Seuda. But according to the reasoning of it to increase brotherly love,
you don't get Seuda.
Zach won't be Yotze because Zach doesn't know who sent it. He doesn't know who sent it.
He's from a Jew.
He doesn't know who sent it, though. So he won't be able to feel that brotherly love. The third practical difference is, let's say, I'm going to use Stat, because Stat's got a nice apartment in Yerushalayim. So let's say, and I don't know, Stat, let's just say Stat's very, very wealthy. And he sends me Mishloach Manos. But what does he send me? He sends me, he sends me a few pretzels and an apple juice. And I say to him, this is what someone of your stature sends to me.
Oh no.
So again, according to Rusa Deshen, if it's about Seuda, you're Yotze, because I can use it as my Seuda. But according to increasing bodily love, I don't feel any love if you're someone of great wealth and you send me this stuff. So I'm not Yotze. Okay, those are the three practical ones. Now I have one more I want to show you. From a YouTube video that I found. I know. I loaded it beforehand. Ready? Everyone watching? I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I want you to figure it out.
Then LCD screen.
Everyone see? Can everybody see?
Yeah,
I will. Ready? Yeah. Everyone's got to be quiet, though.
No, it's different. It's the E1 foil.
You want folks?
And it's John.
It's only 21 seconds.
Is this an LCD screen?
I don't know.
There's a big
this is an old computer, my friend.
Yeah, but there's a big loss from 99.
Okay, shh. Everyone listening? Listening? Shh. Everyone listening? Quiet. Guys, quiet. Stat. Shh. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Shh. You got to be quiet. Should we try to do this again?
I bet you.
There we go. Ready?
He's like, when? I was like, Friday afternoon.
Here you go, it's so nice.
Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Salad?
So what would be the fourth nafkamina? I don't have internet. So what's the fourth nafkamina?
You know,
yeah.
Salad? They don't like
salad. Or according to Homer Simpson,
if you give salad.
Right, if you can't make friends with salad, so Corey's the monosyllabic. If I give Corey salad, I'm not increasing friendship with him. Yeah, I know that video. But according to Manasalevi, salad is part of my suda. So if that's the case, I've done my mitzvah.
It's not brotherly love.
Right, because you can't make friends with salad.
So three out of four are not brotherly love.
Correct. Okay, now, with the remainder of the shiur, I want to...
Make some noise!
Okay, here we go. So, sorry guys, I'm not feeling so well, so we'll just finish up the idea and then we'll conclude. So, we discussed, so that's the two reasons behind Mishloach Manos. Increase of Seuda, or to increase brotherly love amongst Israel. Okay, now based on this idea, I just want to share with you a few quick points. And that is, if we look at all four mitzvos of Purim, again, they are Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levionim, Seuda, and Mikra Megillah. What would you say is the LCD? What's the common denominator between these four mitzvos that Mordechai and Esther established for us for all generations? The four mitzvos of Purim, they all have a common theme.
So,
we know what they are, I just said them.
I didn't listen.
I know, you're on your phone.
What was the last one?
Seuda. Seuda and Mikra Megillah.
Alright, fine.
What is the common theme between them?
You have to do it for other people.
Yeah.
Why? I can have suited by myself.
No,
I can have suited by myself.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have like a
physical. It's all physical.
Bracha. Memories.
Miracles. Holy matrimony.
Holy matrimony?
I don't know.
So I'll tell you what the least common denominator is. One word. One word. One word. Drum roll, please.
What did you say?
Achdus. Unity. Why?
You say good, but say better.
I'll say better. Mishloach Manos, that's obvious. You're specifically going out of your way to provide people with what they don't lacking. Seuda? So the point of Seuda is not to eat by yourself. It's to eat with other people. I know. I was just playing devil's advocate. But you should have Seuda with all your friends and your family. That is a part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. And Mikra Megillah, why is that Achdus? Because when we read Megillah, there's a special inyan to have as many people gather together and do it all at once. So when everyone's gathered together, that obviously shows a tremendous amount of unity. Now, why did the question is, if that's the case, why did Mordechai and Esther, guys, come on, why did Mordechai and Esther see to it that the theme of Purim should be Achdus? Why specifically by Purim?
Because Haman tried to kill all of the Jews, regardless of, he was trying to kill everyone, so more as a way to, I guess, get back and Haman, we're all going to be together as one people.
Okay, not bad. There's a pasuk in the Megillah that hints that Haman knew our secret. What was our secret? So listen to this. In the third paragraph of Megillas Esther, it says, so what happened, the scene is, Mordechai, everyone's married to Haman except Mordechai. And obviously Mordechai gets heated about it. And he gets furious. And he decides he's going to kill all the Jews. So what does he do? He goes to Achashverosh and he says as follows. Yesh lo am echad mufuzar mufurad ben ha'amin, which means there's a nation among us who's mufuzar mufurad. They're spread out and separated amongst all of us. Haman knew the secret of killing the Jews was the fact that they were dafka
separated.
Were not unified, exactly. They were separated. They were completely spread out amongst all the nations. There was no oxus between them. So Mordechai and Esther, to fight that notion, they established the four mitzvahs of Purim that they did. They established the four mitzvahs of Purim that they did to show the oxus amongst Israel. Because that's what Haman knew. That was our secret. They're not separated. They're not together. They're not unified. We can go ahead and kill them now. That's what he's trying to talk to Shverosh. So Mordechai and Esther, because of that, decide that all the mitzvahs of Purim should relate to Achdus. Now, what does Esther do when she realizes that she has to save the Jews? She says one line. She says, "Lech, go, Mordechai. Kenosis kol Yehudim. Go and gather all the Jews together." Once Esther realized she was in a position to save the Jews, her immediate response was, "We have to come together. We have to come together and fight this war and do it together." That's why Mordechai and Esther saw to it that Achdus was critical in the establishment of the myth of the holiday of Purim. Now, with this idea, we can answer another question. I don't know if you heard this, maybe in your other shiurim so far, but the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Arizal most notably, makes note of the following thing. Purim So listen to this crazy analogy. You guys hear this yet?
No.
Oh, goody. Purim, Yom, not Kippurim, but Kippurim. What is the prefix? What is the prefix? I mean exactly light. Meaning that Yom Kippur is a we know it's the holiest day of the year, but it's only like Purim. It's only like Purim. How is Yom Kippur only like Purim? You telling me that Purim is a holier day than Yom Kippur?
Yep.
What?
Well, Yom Kippur is between us and Hashem.
Yeah. Okay, so what?
I think it's more.
So listen to the following thing. Yeah. There are many emphases, by the way, but I'll tell you one. Yeah.
What?
Because Yom Kippur is obviously a very, very spiritual day. Like the spiritual. As we go the day, it's pretty obvious. It's about the out there.
Yeah.
Well, the Purim, you know, it's famous. The reason that Purim is famous is because it was a hidden miracle.
Did a coin flip?
So, and the status.
What about Purim? What about Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur, I was going to say Yom Kippur is very, obviously, very spiritual day. You're fasting, you're doing all these things, so it's easy to connect with God. But on Purim, it was
almost all physical. No, no,
yeah, it was very, like, very physical, very, like, God was hidden. So, we have people who, like, believe in God on Purim, if you really, really see the true meaning of Purim, it's almost like on the level of Yom Kippur.
Okay,
but in light, guys, come on, almost done. In light of what we're saying, that Achdus is the central theme amongst all the mitzvahs of Purim because of what Haman tried to do to us, then we can also answer this. We know, maybe you guys, tell me if you haven't heard this yet, but Purim represents another Kabbalah Satorah. Right, we accepted the Torah Har Sinai, but based on the verse in Megillah that says Kimu v'Kiblu, Chazal learned out that we re-accepted the Torah by Purim. Have you guys heard this yet? No? Purim is a re-acceptance of the Torah. We can discuss that on a different night. What exactly does that mean? But how do we receive the Torah? What was the prerequisite? What was the prerequisite for receiving the Torah?
Unity.
Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahav, the Torah says in Yisro, and Rashi says, they were camped Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, unified. So if we accepted the Torah with unity, so imagine how much more unity happened by Purim when the Jews were in tremendous danger. When the danger came upon the Jews, and this happens always, when there's a tremendous danger, when people are facing oppression, they forget all their differences. They forget all the individual machlokas they have with their buddies or their friends, and they put everything aside and they go for that single cause. So if this is the way we were at Matan Torah, without any danger facing us, so how much more so by Purim, do we have a greater Achdus because of the danger that Haman gave us with. So as great as the Achdus was by Har Sinai, it was that much greater on Purim because we were faced, specifically because we were faced with danger. Now, when it comes to Yom Kippur is a day that we are like angels, right? We don't drink, we don't eat, we don't engage in relations. We can't wear leather shoes. We're dressed in white, in our kittels, in our talisim, standing in shul. That represents us being like angels. And angels, we know, they have no jealousy. There's no fights. There's no fighting between angels. So if in Yom Kippur, we have this sense of Achdus, because we're like angels and we forget the differences between our fellow buddies and we're mochel everybody. So that's how it's like Purim, because Purim, we just explained, is the greatest achdus, because when we were faced with danger, we came together and fought against our enemies. So that's why Yom Kippur is only like Purim, because the achdus we had on Purim the achdus that we feel on Yom Kippur should be that similar to the achdus we had on Purim. Is that clear? Okay, and then let's close with a couple more ideas. And that is, we know that last week we read the parsha of Shkolim. And how much is every male obligated to give?
Half a shekel.
So the Mefarshim asked, why half a shekel? Why not a full shekel? Oh, Donnie? That's what he said. Yeah, it's the answer. That to show that a person without their brethren, without their fellow Jews, is only like a half shekel. That in order to be complete, in order to really feel that we have unity, is when each person gives a half and we've come together. Okay, that's the basic idea. But I just want to point out one other thing, and that is that the pasuk in the Megillah, which is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, it says like this. It says, Mishloach Manos. Anyone know the next two words? Ish. What was that? Lireyehu. Very good. What does that mean? Sending gifts? What's that? Ish Lireyehu. Man to his friend. Okay, now I know this is very not my style, but I'm going to do it anyway. 311 ish. 1, 10, 300. 311. If you take the word re'ehu, not literally, but re'ehu, you get 281. No.
Plus
281.
And you get the square root of 78.
281. It's not a good gematria. But if you add the word lit, how much is lamed? How much is lamed?
30.
You get exactly 311. Oh, wow. To show that each and re'ehu, each man and his friend, are only going to be together, unified, when there's a lit. What's lit? To give. That when a man's given to his friend, that's when they have this equal, so to speak, bond. And I'll just close with the following thing. You know, Ravari said this morning, but it's certainly very true. And that is that we often get caught up in, you know, buying tons of wine, in buying stuff for our suuda, and it's really great. And we all spend a lot of money getting our costume, but there's really, the mitzvah of Matanos Avionim really gets overlooked. And I'll read you the exact lashon of the Rambam when it comes to giving gifts to the poor on Purim. And he says, Mutav, it's just one line, Mutav li adam laharbos Matanos Avionim. It's better that a person increases giving to poor, milaharbos bisuudaso ubishloach manos reyav. More than he spends for preparing his seuda and giving matanos avionim for his friends. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedola umufuara ela l'sameach levaniyim yisomim almanos v'gerim. Because there is no greater happiness in the world than making sure that the lesser fortunate people, the destitute ones, the poor, the widows, the converts, that they are seen to their needs first. And when you do that, we all know that is a much greater simcha than just filling up our stomachs with food. It's a greater simcha than finding the most expensive costume. The greatest simcha is ensuring that our fellow Jews are happier. And just to keep something to keep in mind, two things. Number one, that when we're going to buy our Mishloach Manos, yeah, it's hard because you don't want to exclude anybody else, but make sure that what I personally do is whatever you spend, whatever the final outcome is on your Mishloach Manos, make sure you give at least that amount to Matanos Levionim. At least. It's the right thing to do. As Ram says. So there's Rashi collects, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik collects, there's a Jew in the community who collects, and they come here, and you just give it to them, and they make sure it's distributed on Purim itself. Yeah.
Shekels to Rashi.
Yeah. That's the minimum. That's the minimum. But as Ram is saying, it's much greater to spend more on Matanos Levionim. Step. That's the minimum, but it's much better to give as much as you are for Mishloach Manos and Suda as you are for Matanos Avionim. And finally, I'll just close with the following thing. And based on what we learned tonight, the two reasons for Mishloach Manos, either Suda or to increase love and reis amongst our fellow Jews. So based on that, Corey, it would seem that it makes a lot more sense to give to those friends or those people we know that maybe our relationship is not the greatest with them. Right? Because our friends are always going to expect us to give them. But what about those people who maybe we had a falling out, maybe we had a little quarrel, a little fight with them? Therefore, it would be much wiser, it would be much more appropriate if we went ahead and got over our ill feelings, got over our bickering, whatever it is, even if it's a serious issue, and really went out of your way to give Mishloach Manos to those people who maybe you don't feel as close to. Because again, the whole point, according to Manos Levi, and one of the main reasons for Mishloach Manos is to increase brotherly love, to increase the unity amongst us, and with that, hopefully we'll have an uplifting and amazing Purim. Okay,
guys.